always believe that a business runs at its most optimum when you're being a proactive owner as opposed to a reactive owner.
Welcome to Lady BizWiz, where we help you focus, execute, and get results as you take your business from concept to market. Today, you'll hear part one of a two-part conversation on organizing systems in your business. We talk about being intentional about planning for growth, setting expectations for employees, and building a culture that empowers people as opposed to stifling them through micromanaging. Let's listen in now to part one of Systems, Solutions, and Sanity. Good morning, folks. We are here today on a gorgeous, sunny Savannah day, and we're talking today about organizing systems for your business. And Amy, this has been kind of the forefront of in your thoughts lately. It's something that you decided you wanted to talk about. Give us a little intro.
Well, yes. I mean, so it's you've started this big process of starting your business and becoming an entrepreneur. And you know, when you start it, it's always just about you. You're kind of doing it in your power and your strength. But there becomes a time that you see that you have to grow it, and you can't grow, you just, no matter how hard you try, you can't grow more hours in a day. So how do you grow your business? And so how do you bring somebody on or into your company to start helping you? And the first thing you really need to do when you start looking at that is really, what am I going to have that person do? And then how am I going to show them what to do so that I can continue to do my thing and they know what to do? And it's really the very first building block in the idea and the process of scaling your business.
So we're kind of talking about really replicating our own ability in someone else so that we can move on to other tasks.
Yes. I mean, it's all about creating a system, you know, and really thinking intentionally on how you're going to create that system for the ability to basically of duplication so that you, once that system becomes into play, obviously modify, everything always has to have the ability to be modified, but then that allows you to have the next system, the next part in place when you need to add a second person or a third person or a fourth person. You want to start intentionally building that foundation from the beginning so that when you find yourself with three employees, people are not frustrated. Your staff's not frustrated. They know what's expected of them. They know what, you know, what they need to do to help you grow your company. And it's a clear vision. And so basically you're creating a leadership vision for your company, but not on the fly like a lot of entrepreneurs do, but with more intentionality.
I was just thinking that I'm guessing a large percentage of entrepreneurs get in the spot where, you know, they think maybe they're starting something and the next thing you know, it takes off and now they've brought somebody else in. And it, like you're saying, it kind of happens on the fly. And then when things get too big, it kind of gets out of control. And so this is what you're talking about, sort of thinking ahead to shaping and being intentional about what is it going to look like when I have one, two, three or more employees.
So I always believe that a business runs at its most optimum when you're being a proactive owner as opposed to a reactive owner. And so being proactive in your business means giving thought to potential problems, giving thought to potential expansion, giving thought to the foundations and the procedures that you want to put in versus kind of running your company like the wild, wild west and everybody's just kind of out there figuring it out. And now the mode you're in is you're in a reactive mode. And a reactive mode is if you think about it anyway, when you're reacting, to a threat or to something that's coming at you, you've not planned that response. You don't know what to do. Things can go really wrong. But when you've prepared for something, that's when things have a better chance of going as planned. Again, if it can go wrong, it always seems to. But when you're proactive about your thought process in your business, you actually, you know, can rein in more control versus being reactive.
Okay, so I'm guessing that just from what I know about you and the businesses that you've run, that you've had it both ways. You've done it where you've experienced major growth and you feel like you're just juggling a million and you're trying to figure all that out in the middle of it, which is, I'm sure, a very overwhelming state to be in.
Yes.
But I think what you're doing here is you're trying to give advice based on what you've experienced on how to get on top of it. So let's dig into it. Like, what are some easily understood steps. How can we start this process of being intentional on creating processes that work?
So, you know, I always feel like I beat a dead drum Over and over again. I guess not dead, but I always feel like I beat a drum.
Is it a dead horse?
Dead horse.
It's a dead horse. I'm not sure what the drum is.
I don't know. No idea. I've only had a half a cup of coffee. But I do talk a lot about knowing your strengths and knowing your weaknesses. So that you can, as you start to become intentional about putting things in place, you can play to both of those. You need to play to both of those. So again, setting a foundation is, what do I expect of a new employee or somebody I want to add to my team? What do I need them to do? Where is the most effective way to kind of launch them into my organization so that it frees me up to do something else? And in doing that, what's the best use of their time? So take me for an example. When I go to bring on my first staff member, I know what my strengths are pretty clearly. I also know very clearly what my weaknesses are. So my first employee I bring on is an employee that has strengths where my weaknesses are.
Someone who likes detailed or oriented.
First person I hire, somebody who likes a detail oriented thing. So that when they come to get hired, they're not competing with me in my job, because that would be frustrating for somebody. They have an understanding, and then I've laid out, this is what I need done. This is how I need it done. And this is what I expect to be done. And so they come in and they have a very clear understanding of what it is. And it's more of a corporate structure, which entrepreneurs is just, which is the countercoin to an entrepreneur, is the structure of corporate. I don't like a lot of bureaucracy, but that mentality does have value, because it does create a place that somebody can fit into the puzzle without, you know, because you don't want to exasperate your first employee. You want them to understand and thrive in what you're doing.
And most people for the most part want to know what's expected of them.
Absolutely.
Right? So if you can't articulate, this is what I'm expecting of you, this is what I need you to do, there can be frustration in that.
Correct. And you end up, you know, going through employees, and that happens to a lot of, you know, new entrepreneurs. I just can't find the right person. And so I kind of will ping it back to the entrepreneur, and I'm like, who are you looking for? Are you drawn to a personality like you? And so there's conflict. They don't know, because they're like, they see you doing it, so they're competing with you to do the job. I mean, you know, if you have multiple employees that don't really work out, you have to ping it back to, you know, the common denominator on that. Is your management style not clear? Are you not, is there frustration? If your employees are showing frustration, why are they showing frustration? They have a value in that voice. And really, as an entrepreneur, you can learn so much by being willing to hear that voice so that you can make adjustments to your style, especially if you're a new entrepreneur and you've never managed people, you've never had employees. You know, employees are like, they're not to sound condescending, but they're kind of like children. They all have their own personality. They all bring to the table, you know, what's going on in their home. I mean, they are not vacuums. They are real living people. So, you know, you want to be clear, but you can have less frustrated staff members and employees who actually do help you grow your company if you can clearly articulate your vision of where you see your company going and what that role or what the role they have in that growth. And then you find them getting excited and catching your vision. And then really what ends up happening as an entrepreneur, the magical part is that you can really start to begin to trust that person. But if you just kind of throw a bunch of spaghetti at them and they don't really understand what they're doing, they don't really know why they're doing it, they're not owners in it, so they're not benefiting it. And employees always assume the owner's, you know, raking home the big bucks while they're, and really, as an entrepreneur, you all know that that employee's probably costing you more. They're probably making more at first than you're
making.
Especially
that first one, right?
Right.
Okay, so I've seen companies, and I know you've seen them too, where they go through employees after employees after employees, and the issue really is they're not properly trained.
Yes.
Can we talk a little bit about how to train when you're someone maybe who hasn't, this is your first business, and this is the first time you're turning over some of your baby to someone else. How do you properly train a new person?
Again, it goes to being proactive in your thinking. So before you even have the interview, before you even put the ad out that you're hiring, specifically, what are you hiring that person to do? Are you hiring them to answer the phone? Are you hiring them to do your bookkeeping? Are you hiring them to help with production? What specific tasks are you hiring them for? And it needs to be like four or five you know, 3 to 5, something like that, something manageable, not like I'm hiring you to be me and I don't really know what that is, but I mean, just go for it. It's a very hard place for a person to come on board. But if you're hiring them to answer phones, for instance, a training would look like, you know, this is my company, ABC. This is the expectations that I want our customers to have from us. This is the experience I want them to have. And this is how I'd like you to answer the phone. Thank you for calling. And then write a script. Write something, not a robot call, but write something so that they have an understanding of what you expect of them. And so that's training A, going, this is how we answer the phone. This is what I want the customers to experience. This is my brand. This is how I want you to, you know, express my brand. I mean, everybody kind of feels a little bit differently, but that makes a clear training opportunity of this. If I've hired you to be my bookkeeper and help pay my bills, what are your expectations? Well, my expectations are every day we enter bills in as they come in. We write checks on Fridays. They're presented to me with this report, so I know what we're going to. Very clear understanding. They know when the goal is. They know how to hit the goal. Not a willy-nilly, so that they know what they're doing. And then, A, they become happy because they can complete a task, and you're happy because the task is completed. And then you can continue to grow on that.
Now, I know you've had employees where, you know, they signed up for a particular job, you trained them for a particular job, and then it became clear that they weren't able to handle that job.
Yes. You know, I try to see the value in everybody. And everybody is not wired up the same. Everybody does not have strengths. A lot of times in an interview, you know, I try to listen to, because those are questions I ask, what are things that you're good at? And sometimes people really do have a false impression of what they're good at. I mean, they think they are, but it just really, when it's being done, it's not as what they seem like it is. For instance, I've had this with salespeople that I've talked to. I don't really have a lot of salespeople who've worked for me, but I've known this in sales. My husband's been in sales and things. I'm like, I'm great at closing. I'm a great closer. And then when you put them into the place and you watch them, they actually never ask a closing question. They never get to the close, because part of being a salesperson is obviously being able to close. And so they have a really inflated opinion of how they sell. But really, if you start to dig deeper, they've moved from sales job to sales job. Really usually sale, because
there's a deficit there.
Not a problem for me. Now it will be if that's all I need them to do, but because I do value people above things, and I do understand that people do have a different interpretation of what's in their head and necessarily what they can execute on. You know, and I try to look to see if there is a place I can put them in my organization. I've hired them. I've gone through the process. There's like money. There's always a dollar, whether you understand it or not. There's always a dollar value associated with hiring an employee. So you want that retention to be as high as possible, because if you have to let them go, that dollar starts back at the beginning, and now you're going to invest. And again, it may not be physical dollars, but time is money in your small business. So anything that you're spending in training is something you can't be doing. So you do want to keep in mind that if you can maintain and retain an employee, that you actually end up saving your company money. So if I can find somebody, and I've had to move employees around, I'm like, I really thought you could be good at this, but your attention to detail was not really kind of how you sold it. But you know what? Maybe I have another job that doesn't or requires a different attention to detail, and I can move you around. Because I do truly want to, you know, make the people I've hired work. Now, eventually, I mean, I will cut a cord if I just can't make it work. But usually for me, that's mostly more for personality issues than it is for...
Or just not showing up to work or...
Well, know, yeah. Now, just, if you don't show up for work, yeah, we're going to have a pretty big problem, because that's the whole reason I've hired you, is to actually like show up for work. So yeah, that's a personality style that I can't find a new position for you outside of, just not for me. So yeah. So, but if it's just like where I'm like, I thought you would be great at this job, kind of what I hired you for, really not that great at this job, but where are you? Where could I fit you into my organization? But yeah, excessive absences. I'm a pretty flexible employer, but excessive absences is kind of a no deal for me.
So in the beginning, I kind of talked about, I think I need to correct myself, because I talked about how you want to sort of replicate yourself, but that's actually not true. What you're doing is you're operating what's like strengths-based leadership, meaning you don't necessarily, you don't want to replicate yourself. You want people that can do things that you don't do. You might want to replicate your effort in certain areas, especially when you're starting out, but you're actually looking for people who are not like you.
In the beginning.
In the beginning.
Absolutely. Because in the beginning, I'm still actively involved in my business. So I really need people who aren't necessarily like me, especially if it's the first, second, or third employee, because I'm still actively in my business.
And going back to those ABC buckets, we talked about the A bucket being the things you like and the things you're good at, the B bucket being things that you can do but not necessarily enjoy, and the C bucket being things that you really just can't do. You don't have the skills or the interest to do. So in the beginning, you're in the A and B buckets pretty regularly, consistently. Yep. And as you're growing, as you're scaling upward, you're trying to farm out that B bucket stuff.
Absolutely. Again, because I'm still actively involved in the business. Right. Now, that does take a detour if what you're trying to do is by hiring an employee to move yourself out of the business. So if you're trying to replace yourself, then you would really probably need somebody who has your strengths. So that's a different hire. If I'm trying to kind of scale myself out of my, you know, daily participation in my business, then actually probably who I'm looking for is somebody more like me.
Like maybe a restaurant owner hiring like a GM or someone. Yes. Yeah.
So it really depends on what you're doing. But again, even if I'm trying to hire myself out of my, basically the day-to-day activities, most people I hire are not entrepreneurs, because if they were, they would, you know, they would do their own thing. So again, I need a clear understanding of, in that case, what I do and what I expect of them. I can't go just do it. You're going to create frustration. And again, you're not going to be able to scale out of that, because if you have let's just say you have a business that's very heavily sales based and you're a good salesperson, and you don't want to necessarily sell in your business, you want to go look at another opportunity or something like that, you obviously need to bring in a new salesperson that can sell your stuff. If that salesperson does well, what's the next thing you're going to want to do? You're going to bring another salesperson in. So a clear understanding of your sales style, what again is the customer experience you're trying to present, and what are the expectations to your brand as you're trying to build a brand around your company, so that basically salesperson A, salesperson B, and salesperson C, with their own personalities, can still sell the vision that you as the owner and the entrepreneur originally had.
Do you write this stuff down, Amy? I know you're kind of like you're a verbal communicator, not so much written, but do you write down things that you expect of your employees? Do they have things in writing for this?
So I do. I have learned this over the years that really at first I didn't. However, the reason I do is the labor laws are kind of a funny little clear, they're not very bendy. So the Department of Labor says that if I want to let a employee go for fault, which means I'm not happy with their production, I'm not happy with something that they're doing, I want to let them go, that they have to already understand the offense that they're being let go for. This would avoid you paying unemployment. So, I mean, paying unemployment. Did I say employment?
Yeah, you did.
Sorry.
Unemployment.
So let's say, because they just didn't show up for work, did the employee know that showing up for work was part of the job description? Now, everyone out there listening going, of course they knew, you hired them. However, the Department of Labor doesn't see it that way. So I do have a rules and expectations form that every employee signs that begins to work for me. And it outlines not really vision, but it outlines the core. We show up for work at this time. We're ready to work what our cell phone usage is. If I have goals, if they're a salesperson and I have sales goals, I would, you know, that would be another form that I would have printed out. I would have initialed so that if they didn't meet their quota, and then I think if you don't meet your quota 3 months in a row, we're going to let you go. If you let them go for that, then you've let them go for cause. You have not let them go because, let's just say, you don't have enough work and you're letting them go because your business is not doing well. So, yeah, I do. And again, it's not probably my forte, but I do find, you know, employees are happier if they understand. Because if they're on their phone all day, I'm just getting frustrated. And if they don't know why I'm getting frustrated because they're on their phone all day, which again, logic would say, but logic just goes out the window. And when they were hired, they had rules and procedures. They understood that. So when I say, I need you to get off your phone, I don't need any attitude on that. You already knew that was the expectation.
Right. So it does protect you and it protects them.
It does.
for future conflict slash lawsuits slash whatever in the future.
It just makes the experience more smooth. You know, they have that old saying that good fences make good neighbors or something like that. It just, people like to be able to work to expectations. People really like to exceed expectations, but you can't exceed an expectation that you don't know.
Thank you for joining us today on Lady Biz Whiz. As always, we value your feedback. Send us an email at questions@ladybizwiz.com and let us know what you like best about the podcast or if you have any ideas for future ones. Thanks so much. We hope you have a great day. See you next time.